Like once the Undertaker came, I was like, oh, this the kind of shit we on tonight?
Oh, yeah. When the Undertaker came out, I said, oh, we just throwing people in here that don't even got nothing to. But I mean, like, they it do nothing. Because, you know, The Rock and The Undertaker got their thing. But it was like, oh, this is what we doing? Okay.
I was. Okay. Well, for me, it's like we just watched. Did you watch the documentary that A&E did on Roman? Like it came out a week ago.
I did not. Did you?
Yeah, I saw it. So, yeah, I watched it. So in it, The Undertaker's in it like multiple times, and he's saying, oh, yeah, man, like Roman's the guy. Roman's great. Like Roman. I had a feeling it was supposed to be Austin, and Austin was like, nah, I'm good on that, Jack. I ain't coming to Philly.
You think?
Austin makes more sense. I don't know. Austin just makes more sense to me. That like Undertaker seems like your second choice. Like if you can get Austin in there.
I think Triple H like, tweeted that at 3:16 p.m.
Yeah, right. Like there were signs that it should have been like if it was Austin, sure, I would understand. But like Undertaker, I mean, I guess Undertaker. Oh, every time we see the Undertaker in the ring, he just looks worse and worse. That choke slam won't hit no nothing.
What on the scale from 1 to 5, with 5 being American badass with the dirt bike Undertaker? How strong do you think that choke slam was?
That choke slam, I'm going 0.5 Undertaker. Like that choke slam was hitting on nothing. It was sad.
So here's
man.
My thing. When Undertaker came out, here's what I was sitting there saying. Oh, it's over for Roman. Like this is, it really is over. Seth Rollins came out there. Did you think Dean Ambrose is coming back when you saw?
I thought it was. I thought I was like, ain't no way they got Ambrose because he's been off AEW for a minute, right?
Yeah, I was sitting there watching. I was like, nah, they're not doing that. They're not doing that.
It would have been so cool if it was.
But then I remembered what Seth said to Cody at the same time. I will be your shield.
Yeah.
So he went out there on one knee and all. You saw where they had to basically carry him out?
Yeah, I saw that.
He went out there on one knee and all, took that chair shot that gave Cody the setup to win it all.
My favorite part of that entire match is when Roman hit Crossroads and he was like, yeah, this move ain't shit. This move don't be ending nothing. This move ain't doing nothing.
We've been in there. Ain't nothing in there. Ain't nothing back there. Yeah. Ain't nothing back there.
Oh, grade A trash talker.
Listen, I look at it and I'm just like, when that three count hit, here's what I was saying in my head. I'm very happy for Cody. You could tell by the jubilation from his peers and the crowd that it was a special moment for him. But then I was just sitting here saying, y'all, are we sure this is the direction we want to go? But then I thought about it. I was also reading up a lot. And I was deep in my WWE Reddit threads about this match leading up to it. And one thing I was reading about was how was just remembering that Roman Reigns has leukemia that he actively competes with, which one is amazing. If you kind of remember the shape he showed up the WrestleMania and he was in incredible shape.
Yeah.
But it also makes you wonder if maybe similar to some previous celebrities that we've seen, when people start getting skinnier, you start wondering about his overall health and if, you know, if maybe the reason why he was maybe showing up to certain Friday Night SmackDowns and Monday Night Raws and premium live events was maybe due to health reasons. And maybe that's why.
So it's funny you say that. Because did you watch the press conference Saturday night?
No.
So he was asked that. They were like, so how's your health? And he was like, everything's fine. Still in remission, but he's taking oral. And it's in the documentary, too. If you get a chance to watch that A&E documentary, it was really good.
All right, I'm checking it out.
He was like, I was just taking, he takes oral medicine for it every day instead of like chemo. He was like, yeah, it's about as good as it's going to get. Like it's at bay, like it's cool. But I still wonder if that was a facade. Like there might be some health issues. That could be it. Because, I mean, who wants to wrestle with leukemia every week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Figure it was probably time for him to get a good break in because, you know, I guess, you know, he'd been on such a run, man. And I mean, he was wrestling. I mean, he just always, you just knew he was kind of always the draw, especially in like the first 2.5 years of that run.
Yeah.
He was always the draw. He was having to always wrestle and, you know, all these matches, especially with like the Brock Lesnar's, the Braun Strowman's of the world and all that. So, man, here.
Still my tribal chief.
Still my tribal chief. I was in there throwing up them ones.
Me too. Did you throw up the one when he got pinned? Like, I still was like, no, you still the tribal chief. It's funny.
Go ahead.
It's like the press conference Saturday night, the reporter was like, hello, my tribal chief. And he stopped the press conference. He was like, that is correct. Everyone acknowledged me and like made everyone at the hilarious, man. Like, just, it's not a character. That's just who he is.
The gig is the, not, the gig is the gig. Now,
I don't think it's a gig. I think like he kicked a reporter out because they booed him.
Well, yeah, you got to kick him out. Because you, at that point, I think he was buying into the gimmick. And at that point, what would you do if you are playing, if you want to continue the gimmick, right?
Here's the thing. I don't think it's a gimmick. I think that is who he is.
Nah. I urge you to watch Young Rock because his dad, you did watch Young Rock.
I didn't watch Young Rock, no.
You need to watch Young Rock because his dad talks about it in a way that, like, if you watched it with some of that references, you'll be like, I understand what you mean. Because he was... That was kind of how he was, that's how Rock was kind of taught. Because, you know, obviously, you know, with the Soul Man being your dad, you know a lot about the business and growing up in the business, like, you know, the Rock and his family, it is. But it kind of, you could just tell how the Rock fully plays into the his character. And you can, and you can tell even when the crowd's throwing him off, he kind of knows how to play into it. And I think this was kind of Roman Reigns playing into the in the crowd and that energy, right? Especially at WrestleMania, you want to give the people some of that energy. So I don't think that's who Roman Reigns is as a person. But at the same time, you're there, WrestleMania 40, biggest WrestleMania in terms of revenue, people there, press conference. Yeah, you gotta buy into it because you gotta sell the match for Sunday, right?
Yeah, that's true. So,
do you think, how confident in you are you? I should say that with this passing of the torch from Roman to Cody, we are entering a new championship era that will be sustainable.
So you and I talk about this between each other. I don't think people understood Roman carried this thing for 4 years, how hard it is to be champion and to be the guy. Like, I think everyone likes the idea of Cody being the champion and the story that it took to get there. But as far as a character, like, who is Cody? Like, we know who Roman was. We knew what motivated Roman. He wanted you to respect him and acknowledge that he is the best. I don't know what motivates Cody. Like, same with Seth, right? Seth's thing is, I'm a fighting champion. I'm the people's champion. Like, we know his motivations. Like, Cody's whole thing has been, I want to be a champion. All right, well, now you're champion. Like, what now? He said it last night in his promo. Like, I've always been in the line. Now the line is here for me. So I'm just intrigued to see how they flush like the next evolution of Cody, because what does that look like? Because, again, everyone thinks it's a great idea. Well, now it's here and he has to carry the company. What does that look like?
Yeah. And then, yeah, and it makes you just look back at some of the evolutions of Roman, like the big dog, the head of the table, that going into the tribal chief. And then, you know, the acknowledge me and how, you know, how that built. And so I think you look at it, and if this thing gets a little shaky, maybe in month, maybe two or three or four, you know, you start wondering if maybe at SummerSlam, they think about that original plan they had for Rock versus Roman. Maybe we were thinking about it wrong. Maybe instead of Roman with the championship versus The Rock, what if it really is The Rock versus Roman for the championship? And what if at some point Rock has to face Cody to finish that story based off the fact that he pinned Roman at WrestleMania? So you see them matching up at like a SummerSlam or a Survivor Series, like a steel cage or something like that. You see The Rock getting some help to win that, bring it back to the bloodline and the family. And then we see, you know, maybe at the next WrestleMania, that run being the inverse of what we saw this year. Remember, this year it was all about Rock acknowledging Roman. I think next year we see the reverse of that. Roman having to acknowledge Rock. Roman having to either win the Elimination Chamber or win the Royal Rumble. So I don't know. I'd see that definitely be a storyline, but I guess at first we have to see what Cody is like as champion.
I will say it would be insane if Cody doesn't get to carry the belt for a year. Like, all that, I think that you can give him a year. You can probably give him 18 months. Like, he shouldn't drop the belt in theory till SummerSlam 2025.
Or what if the original plan before Cody versus Roman at WrestleMania was for Cody to beat Seth at WrestleMania, and they find a way to inverse this and get Cody back into world heavyweight championship position? Like, what if Cody, what if Cody ends up losing the belt in an interesting way, and then has to win the Money in the Bank match, and then cashes it in on Damian Priest?
See, now that's what I don't think Damian Priest is going to be champion that long.
Me either.
I think he has until SummerSlam.
What was your thoughts on Drew McIntyre? Because I think we both kind of figured Drew McIntyre would win the match, but yeah. What were your thoughts on his championship reign?
It's perfect. Like, he has been talking to Seth that he has been obsessed with Roman so much that he's taken his eye off the ball, and the inverse happens. He was so focused on CM Punk that it cost him the World Heavyweight Championship. Like, that's say what you want about Triple H, but this, like, he has been, like, he has hit the mark.
That boy good, right? Time. That boy good.
That boy good. Like, he is, like, that was perfect. All Drew had to do was leave, but no, he had to taunt CM Punk, and he lost his championship. Mm-hmm. It's great. And he lost his chance to be the number one contender last night. Like, it's just a great story.
What was your match of the night? Then we'll get this thing going.
Match of the night for the weekend or Saturday or Sunday?
Weekend. Let's do weekend.
The weekend, it was definitely, for me, it wasn't Roman Cody, but it was the tag team match.
That thing was fire.
Like, I knew there was going to be shenanigans with Romans and Cody, but the tag team match? Yeah, man.
How hilarious. How did you laugh when you saw Grayson Waller grab those titles?
Yes. I could not believe it.
I said, yo, I give it a month and a half at max. Get the fuck out.
I give it till Friday night SmackDown.
You think so?
They don't have the chemistry to be tagged.
What if those are the belts the New Day win back?
Yes. Yes. Because that, like, even Miz and Truth, all right, dog, this is cute. Backlash.
I think Miz and Truth, with their ability to kind of work in and out of the Bloodline story, I think that'll keep them in it. The Bloodline are going to win back the Undisputed Tag Team Championship. It's going to be one at a time, though.
You mean the Judgment Day?
Judgment Day.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say the Judgment Day story is hilarious. I'm surprised there was no punishment from Rhea for Finn and them for losing the tag. That's what I was expecting last night, right? Because I feel like the split of Judgment Day is about to start, because Rhea's in charge because she's the Women's World Heavyweight Championship. Well, now Damian is like the Men's World Heavyweight Champion. So, like, they're on the same level. Who's in charge of Judgment Day? I mean, it should be Rhea Ridley should be in charge of everything. But I feel like that power struggle is on the way.
But they're also the Terror Twins, though.
Who?
That's what they called themselves yesterday, the Terror Twins.
Oh, no. Scratch that. That's a terrible idea.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 139 of Speak On It. You already know when you see this Nas fade, it could only be one brother, the good brother, Los D-Mix. Of course, joined here by the smoothest bald head on the East Coast, Mr. Danny Ocean. How we doing, my brother?
Oh, man. I'm excited. When you sent the notes last night, I was fired up. I could barely sleep last night.
Really?
Yeah.
Basketball, a little women's college basketball over the weekend, a little WrestleMania. We kind of touched on it. Yeah. Hasn't been a lot of NFL outside of some foolish shenanigans.
Oh, man. It was, for me, it was the WrestleMania. We're going to talk about J. Cole later.
You got some thoughts on it?
We're gonna talk about J. Cole later.
All right. Let's start on a little college basketball, right? Before we do, how about you let the good people know where this good broadcast is brought to them by?
This podcast is brought to you by the good folks at goingfor2.com. The draft is coming up. The draft show is coming up Thursday, Friday. I mean, when's the draft? The draft is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, right? Mm-hmm. Every day of the draft, there's going to be some live Going For Two coverage of the draft, so tap in. You and I will be on Gladys's show Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be ranking One Hit Wonders. I am skipping work early to be a part of that. I'm very excited. It's a lot going on at Going For Two. Dynasty drafts are coming up, speaking of which, I owe you some money. I'm not going to be like other former members.
Hey, and to you former members out here, I see you in certain group chats talking about over under, so on and so forth. What? Listen.
Pray, brother. Pray through it. Pray through the hate. Pray through the hate.
Eddie, you know what I'm trying to say.
I know. We're going to pray through the hate. We got too much to smile about. But yeah, dynasty trades. I mean, not drafts are coming up. Rookie drafts are coming up. I've started to do my homework, even though I have the number one overall pick. But we still got some work to do over here.
I sent you a trade today. I sent you a trade.
I declined it.
You didn't like it.
Yeah. I didn't like two. It's going to take more than that to get 2-4. It's funny. I don't know if he's listening, but wait till the trade you see that I'm trying to cook up with Greg.
Oh, brother. You know, honestly, I'm trying to get one less. I'm trying to like trade a draft pick or two draft picks for one, or trade a draft pick for a future draft pick, because I'm trying to get some bench space. But honestly, I don't know. My team's going to be young next year.
Yeah, and I'm going the same way. And bam, God bless you. Thanks for dropping Aaron Rodgers. You solved so many problems for your boy when you decided to drop Aaron Rodgers.
Well, we'll see. I stay healthy.
I just need some insurance. That's it.
Thank you, man. My trade for Josh Allen looking crazy now.
My trade for Josh Allen looking super crazy, because I traded him first for Jalen Hurts.
So is your crazy in a good way or a bad way?
Oh, in a great way.
Mine's not.
A superb move for me.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I'm glad my backup is Jared Goff, and I picked up Jameson Williams. So in a way, I traded for Jameson Williams. And in a way, I'm glad that I did, because I really do think Jameson Williams is going to take a step up.
He ain't got no choice.
So I like that trade. The Stephon Diggs one, I'm not kicking myself, but I'm kind of kicking myself. Well, he's on the decline. So I knew. Here's the Packers philosophy. The Packers believe trade him early, don't trade him late.
Yeah, 100%. And that's also the Howie Roseman philosophy. Trade them one year early.
That's the school of GM and I went to.
Yeah, 1 year early compared to 1 year too late. I will say it's nice to see Bam be on the good end of a trade for once. Like, he has been getting
That Stephon Diggs one?
Yeah, like, it's nice to see him get one.
Yeah, but it pays off for him if Stephon Diggs is the player he is for at least
2 years.
2 years. Then
Bam is in a win now mode, but his roster is not made to win now.
Bam moves like the Los Angeles Rams, just with no championship. So like,
yeah, I'm trying to go to his roster now, because I know he does not care about draft picks. He does not care about the future. Like, he sells out every year to win, which I appreciate that philosophy.
Here's what I'm gonna say though. Y'all know what's coming in 2027. Pause.
Yep. Listen. Yeah, like, his roster is 100%. I'm trying to win right now.
I'm letting you know now. I am balancing. I'm trying to balance roster building to win a championship in the next year or two, while also making sure my roster is ready for what the league and our rosters will look like. I'm telling people, next year we're voting on IDPs. Danny, Kyle, I'm going to be honest with you. I do think IDPs are going to be voted out.
I don't know about voted out. I would be okay with one IDP instead of two.
I'm not opposed. Here's what I'm going to say. I think people are going to look at points they're leaving on the bench versus points they're getting from these IDPs.
That's true.
And are going to say, I would rather take the risk of losing to a regular flex with that roster spot than not winning because I don't have enough points from what is the current IDP.
Which is crazy, because if you understand the IDP, you can find
some good ones in there.
You can find, like, I get consistent
and you points. Can use and you can use yours for draft compensation. Like, I've been able to get Roquan Smith and Fred Warner. I've traded both of them and gotten draft picks back for them.
Yeah, and I traded for TJ Watt. Like that was, but yeah, if you know what to look for, I get consistent points out of my IDPs.
Yeah, same. But every week, I just feel like next year when people vote on it, that'll be one that, and I think it'll be like lopsided, 7-3, 6-4.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And then remember in 2027, we're moving over to Superflex. So Imagine we're in a world now where you get a QB, two running backs, two wide receivers, a tight end, what is that, five flexes?
Something like that. See, Kyle said, if anything, I'd rather add another one. See, Kyle understands. Kyle's another one who understands the kind of IDP you have. I think in our group, people focus too much on sacks and defensive linemen. They go boom or bust. That's not the way to play the IDP role.
But see, here's the thing. You can look at it like you and Kyle are, which I think is very valid, and I'm not taking anything against it, and part of me agrees. I'm here to talk about I'm really speaking more for the other side, because the other side can say, if the current roster layout is here, I'm going to pull it up for I'll pull it up on Sleeper. Hold on. Sorry.
It's all good. Well, I have it open.
Oh, okay. Okay. So the so some of the current roster format.
Quarterback,
two running backs, two wide receivers, a tight end, three flexes, and two IDPs. I could see next year when we vote, and I can tell you right now the voting options are going to be, well, they're in the they might be in the whatchamacallit. Yeah. Number two, next year's agenda. Remove or change IDPs. So next year we'll vote to either remove both and replace with two flexes, or remove one IDP. Oh, okay. Listen, I'm fucking up. Here's what we'll vote on. Removing both and replacing them both with two regular flex spots, or removing both and replacing it with one running back and one wide receiver spot.
Okay, I got you.
So, and then option C is remove one IDP and then replace with a flex spot and then double the current points of IDPs.
That would be my vote. But Kyle said four IDP or zero. That's crazy. Kyle won a whole defensive backfield.
So think about, if those are your three options, I can easily see people looking at their rosters and saying, well, I think I'd rather take the chance of
putting
regular flex in. So imagine two running backs, two wide receivers, a tight end, basically five flexes.
That's crazy.
And we're also voting on a tight end premium next year, which could even boost the reason why people would want to do that.
Yeah.
So, again, I say all that to say, this offseason and next offseason is important, I think, for a lot of managers in here to make sure you are really setting your team up for success in the future. Especially because I'm telling you, in 2027, we're going to see who the real GMs are. We gave people plenty of time, right?
Can I say the price of Dalton Kincaid is now through the roof? Like, y'all could have got him at market value if you wanted.
Wait, why do you say that?
Well, because Dalton Kincaid is going to be Josh Allen's number one. And if we're voting for a tight end premium next year, and that goes through, whole buddy.
What is a fair tight end premium? I was just thinking of like 2 points per reception for tight ends, or 1.5?
Two would be cool. But again, Dalton Kincaid is going to get a lot of targets now. He's a young tight end. He was already top five, Kyle, if I'm not mistaken, dynasty tight end. Price of the brick going up, up, up.
Wait, don't nobody want to trade you no Dalton Kincaid.
A lot of people have hit the hard button on Dalton Kincaid.
If tight end premium goes up, I'm over here working with Cole Kmet.
Oh. Hey, my roster ain't number tight end university. I got tight ends for days.
Come on now, you know who the real tight end you is in this league.
I have
the Las Vegas Horned Ducks.
Thank you, Kyle. Kyle said he's tight end too. Hey, man, all I'm saying is tight end university over here.
Have you fit Marvin Harrison Jr. for a jersey for your team?
We have met with Marvin Harrison Jr. We've met with Malik Nabers as well. So we have five visits. Marvin's visit went very well. He was a little out there, but we had a great conversation. Malik Nabers was a joy to be around. Very bubbly, very great personality. We're still talking. We're also talking about potential second round picks because 2-1 is sitting there. We've talked to Brock Bowers over the phone. He's very interested in the Ronald Asley tax return. The interest is mutual. So, yeah, we've had a lot of conversations over here with potential prospects.
I got a statement, and then I got a question for you. Mm-hmm. I will say here at the Horn Ducks, we are looking at 102, and we pretty much know Malik Nabers is going to be there.
We don't know.
We know there's no way your franchise is going to pass up on Marvin Harrison Jr. at 101. And if you do, oh, boy, we're smiling. It's going to be like getting Kevin Durant, Michael Jordan at 102.
Well, like I said,
so we almost double dog dare you to pass up on Marvin Harrison Jr. because we will have the bins outside.
Can I say that again? Malik Nabers' visit went well, and we enjoyed our time together, as we did with Marvin. We're going into our war room. We're getting closer to the draft. We're going to sit down. We're going to weigh our pros and cons, and we'll make our decision at 101 when the draft is here.
Here's where it gets interesting for the Horn Ducks, though. We have 210, 301.
Yep.
Then we also have like 303 or 304, 305, 306. Actually, I got it in my pocket here.
Yeah, I started off like a bunch of picks, but now we have 101, 201, and 204. But next year, 3 seconds, 3/3.
Listen to this. So, of course, I have 102. I have 210, 301, 305, 6, 7, 9, and 10. Mm. I can tell you right now, there is a lot of depth I'm about to build. And I think if I got like 8 picks. If even half of these pan out and I get some good players out of them, I'm going to say this was a steal of a draft. If all of them pan out, woo, buddy.
You good. See, Kyle feels me. Kyle said if Harrison goes to the Patriots and Nabers goes to the Cardinals, I would totally go Malik Nabers at 101. Kyle, feel me?
Okay. I dare you.
We are having a conversation here at the Ronald Asley Tax Return Organization. Nothing is
I've been able to have a visit with most top 50 to 75 actual NFL draft offensive recruits just because we have so much draft capital, especially in that third round. I hope y'all are ready to just wait on me to really just.
Oh, I ain't got a third round pick. So when I pick at 204, if there's someone on the board that I'm interested in, I might stick around. But if not, I'll go.
I think there's a great opportunity that on draft night, people will be hitting me up for trades.
How much time do we have between picks? 5 minutes?
30 minutes.
Oh, yeah. That's plenty of time to razzle dazzle.
So here's my question, though. I am curious on how you would feel if there was a way to get like if there was a way to like have maybe like a computer or someone look at team rosters, scoring, draft picks, and be able to come up with like some offseason power rankings or like favorites to win.
Oh,
or dynasty rankings or something like that. Sleeper may have it. Let me look.
While you do that, it's funny that you mentioned that because going for two, Jeff and a bunch of people, they do that in the offseason. So they host shows where people send over their rosters in their league. And like they kind of talk through weaknesses and strengths. Kyle, you're on those pods too, right? If I'm not mistaken. But we all know who would come in first. It'd be Greg. Greg's team is loaded, man. Yeah, Personal League Podcast. Thank you, Kyle.
Yeah. Okay. Question about the taxi squad.
I have a question. Can I take someone off the I can only do that once, right? They can only come out of the taxi squad once. Like I just can't keep putting them back and forth.
Yes, correct. Once you take them off, they're on your roster now.
Okay, so he has to stay on my roster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has to stay on the taxi squad until I say otherwise. All right, I can live with that.
I'm trying to see if I could, let me see, put this in the Dynasty Ranker. I found a website, dynastyranker.com. Let's see. Oh man, I can't find it. But that's something I want to do.
Well, I'd be very intrigued to see where Bam comes in.
You think so? Why do you say that?
I'm just very intrigued to see, because again, he sells out. Like, I don't think he does any future planning at all. It's his philosophy is, who is good right now? How can I get that person? What's it going to cost? And he does.
Oh, okay. I got something.
Okay.
Ooh. Okay. This is by position.
Okay.
This is by position. I'm trying to see if they have. Oh, yes, they do. All right. Can I share my screen?
Oh, and also Cal gave some clarity to the taxi squad.
League power rankings. So this is a bar graph. So it says.
Damn, am I at the bottom?
Yeah, brother.
That's all right. I was at the bottom when I won.
I guess these are by projected points.
Oh, was that last year's? Because I lost last year as number one overall pick. Was that last year?
It might be last year.
Yeah, I think that's last year because it has Greg and has a. Yeah, that's last year. I don't even worry about that.
Okay. My bad, brother.
And I don't care what the rankings say. There have been plenty of times I've been at the bottom and I find myself in the championship game. We don't care about that over here. We have vision.
Kyle said he wasn't fourth, though.
Oh, so maybe that's a projection for next year. Crazy. I thought my roster was a little bit better than that, but it might
not. How do you find the sleeper ID? Here we go. Mm-hmm. Go towards the bottom of your general league settings. You'll see a copy to league. Okay. General league settings. Let's see. League settings. Team roster, draft member. What the? All right. Oh, yeah. Anyway, why don't you start? Let's start talking about a little March Madness.
All right, let's do that. So for everyone who may have lived on the rock, basketball ended yesterday, last night. College basketball did. UConn beat Purdue to win a national championship. Then on Sunday, South Carolina completed the perfect season and beat Caitlin Clark in Iowa. I don't know about you, D. I didn't watch a single dribble of the game last night. I did not care. UConn has dominated this entire tournament, and that's why I expected last night. I watched Raw, and then I went to bed. And when I woke up, what I thought would happen did happen. UConn won. They're back-to-back. Dan Hurley is 99.9% about to get the biggest offer he's ever gotten in his life from Kentucky to go coach there. Did anything surprise you or shock you from the men's side?
Here's what I'll say. I watched Dan Hurley on Pat McAfee's show this morning, and he said he's already thinking about a three-peat and what that roster looks like. So I don't know if I don't know if necessarily I think he'll get the bag. I don't know if he'll take it. Here's what I'll say. I watched the men's tournament up until Raw came on here on the West Coast. And then I turned on Raw and I said, yeah, it's time to get busy.
Yep.
I would say every time I watched UConn, they were hands down, head and shoulders, the better team. When I watched them versus Purdue, I think, one, I'm not a fan of how Zach Edey gets calls. I know he's big, 7'5", or whatever. Not a fan of how he gets calls. Two, I feel like, when watching the game, once UConn was able to really get him moving and make him have to defend the perimeter, I think that's when they were really able to get some good transition buckets to the basket. I mean, Zach Edey's a beast. I think their game plan, which I think Coach really talked about it, was just, hey, let him go off and make some other people have to beat you. And yes, they did. They couldn't beat him. So I think the men's tournament, I think the best overall team won, and I think the most dominant team we've seen in a very long time won. I wouldn't surprise me if we look back on this UConn team and see how many NBA players they have on it, because I think they're gonna bring a lot of good players into the league. The last thing I want to say is I didn't realize Dan Hurley and his family really came from a school of winners until I remembered about some of these other Hurleys. I forgot that. I didn't know they were all related.
Yeah, Bob Hurley.
Yeah,
dad, his brother. Is that his grandpa?
Yeah, I think so. Also,
his grandpa was the high school coach, right?
Yeah, that sounds right. I do remember seeing the video of him going on the court and pushing his player to run the play. Like, that's now we're reaching Bobby Knight territory.
Hey, he's aggressive with him. I think he's from like New Jersey or something. So you know,
that's not right. Well, it's gonna be all good. He's gonna be doing that in Kentucky next year.
Well, you really think he's gonna leave?
Do you really think Kentucky not gonna offer him whatever he wants?
But if you're UConn, wouldn't you just offer him even more to stay?
You think UConn money is Kentucky money?
You're talking about one of the most prestigious.
Don't mean they got money. Okay, we're talking about UConn money, SEC money.
Okay, but you're talking about a school that has a very generous fan base and donor base. They probably do have a football program but it's nowhere near half as much as their basketball program, both on the men's and women's side. I think the donors for UConn are going to make sure that Dan Hurley gets a pay upgrade, sort of similar to Steve Sarkisian got after Nick Saban left Alabama.
This is what's going to happen. UConn's going to make their offer, and Kentucky's going to say, LOL, add a couple more zeros. We can do better than that because, not UConn, Kentucky, because there's no money like SEC money. That's how Arkansas got. We'll talk about Calipari later.
Well, I think Calipari was like, y'all not leaving me before I leave y'all.
And that fits his profile. That fits. He looks exactly like the kind of man that will leave a woman if he thinks she's about to bounce. What about the
women? Hold on. What's wrong with that?
I didn't say there was anything wrong with that. I just said he looks like the kind of guy that will leave a woman if he thinks that she would leave him. I didn't say there was anything wrong with that.
Touche.
You want to talk about it? Go ahead.
I really don't think I really don't think my team is one of the worst teams dynasty ranking wise. I think I like to think I might have one of the better ones.
I don't care what they say. We know what we're doing over here. So Stem Pookie, which is a great name, said that Kentucky offered Hurley $11 million a year for 5 years.
And you don't
you can't
offer him 15 over five?
No.
Three a year?
No.
Come on, man. You're crazy.
Big East money and SEC money are two totally different arenas. Ain't no money like SEC money. It. All right. Or Nate Oates. Nate Oates at Alabama calling him right now, and he pitted one against the other. I think you're on mute, brother.
I got it. Guess what I got us?
What'd you get us?
All right. I was able to put it in to a better ranking, and I think.
Oh, our dynasty? Yeah. How are our teams ranked as of right now? Here we go. Here's a shared screen. Why isn't it popping up?
Look,
there it is.
You can't see it?
I can't see that. You might have to read it out. Yeah, hold on, see if I can make it bigger. Let's hit maximize. What does that do? Oh, yeah, but it's still a little blurry.
Hold on, let me try it again. For the folks that are watching, we appreciate you sticking. This is a Black-owned production.
Oh, God.
All right.
While you do that, I'm going back to Nate Oates. Right. How much money is Nate Oates going to make off this UK job?
Listen, if I'm UConn, I'm giving him. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
Oh, I'm sorry. If I'm UConn, I'm giving him 15 mil over 5 years, 3 mil a year.
Let's see. What's 15 times 5? $75 million.
No. 15 million over 5 years, 3 a year.
Oh, hell no. Now, Kentucky's offering him $11 million per year for 5 years, and you saying UConn is going to come back and say $3 million a year for 5 years?
Oh, $11 million. I read that as 5 years, $11 million total. $11 million a year for five, so 55. Oh, well, I'm giving him 15 over five.
So 75.
Over five. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got you. All right, so here we go.
Here we go. That league feels right. Overview. So full team plus picks. Look at this right here. Bam at one.
Habitual line stepper is Rojo.
50 Shades of Trades. Hold on. Who is that? Who is 50 Shades of Trades?
Let me see. Is that the guy who's never around?
Nah, that's D. Friedman.
Hold on, let me get to it.
That's Greg. So it's
That's Greg. So it's okay.
Rojo, Greg, Kyle's at three. Your cousin's at four. Jason, the other Darius is at five. There goes you at six. Me at seven. D. Friedman at eight. Say It, Don't Shay It at nine. And Airing It Out is our good old friend.
That's Bam.
Bam. Right there at the bottom.
All right, so I rank one in picks. See, look at that tight end ranking. Three in tight end, and then don't look at anything else. Nine, that's going to change when Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers arrive. Running back.
Damn, I really got they saying I got the worst wide receiver room in the league.
Don't worry, Malik Nabers is going to change that. Or Marvin Harrison Jr.
Look at this, though. Fifth in quarterback, middle of the pack in quarterbacks, running backs, and kind of tight ends. So, which makes sense because this is kind of where I was going to focus in the draft anyway. And I'm third in picks, probably because I got 102 and then a bunch of third round picks. Kyle, you are one in tight end. So, yeah, your combination of Hawkinson and McBride is doing something. Look at Rojo, though, up here.
He is just bing, 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 top three in everything except picks.
And he hasn't won a championship yet, which is funnier.
Which is crazy. Oh, so yeah, don't worry, Greg. We're going to help you out.
Let's talk about players only. Oh. Mm.
We at the bottom.
You know what this means? What it's saying is that this draft season is going to mean a lot to us.
Yeah. It's going to mean a lot. That's all right. Like, these numbers are going to look totally different in a month. I ain't worried about it. I ain't worried about it.
How do you feel? How do you feel about that?
That feels right. I feel very middle of the pack. Very like this is a season that you can go always. Like I could go to top four, or I could drop to eight. It just depends. Depends on how this draft goes. It depends on how trades go. There's going to be a point in the season where people are going to have to decide: is this the year I want to go for it, or do I need to plan for the future? And I think that's where. Like for you and I, where our draft capital is going to play a major role. Because like next year, like I said, I got 3 second round picks, 3/3, a first. So if I'm next year, feel like I need to make a push, I got the ammo to go get someone. Mm-hmm. And if I think I'm not going to push, I can have a little bit of a fire sale and we can stock this and get ready for 2027.
Mm-hmm. I too feel the same way. I have Rojo's first and second round picks next year. So next year, Rojo is the guy that I have to hope doesn't have the year that he needs to have. But even if he does,
like you still have 2 first-round picks. You got 3 seconds or 4 seconds because you and I have the most picks at anyone in the league.
No, I'm talking about next year. Next year, I only have Rojo's first and second round picks.
Okay, because I have your second, don't I? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have Rojo's third round pick this year. Yeah, third round pick this year, first round pick next year, and second round pick next year. So yeah. I got his next three picks. So he's going all in. So if his team doesn't do what it needs to do similarly like Bam's, then I'm in a position where I could have two really, really good early picks in back-to-back years. So we will see. And then 2026 is when I have three third-round picks already because I have Rojo's third-round pick.
But if you're Rojo, I get it, right? He has the best team. He has the most complete roster in the league. If there's ever a time to go for it, it's right now.
Yeah, so – let me ask you one last question, then we'll talk about the women's March Madness tournament a little bit. What would you do if you had Jerome Ford?
That's a tough one. Like, for me, I'm not trying to make any rash decisions until the draft. Like, because there are some players that I'm interested in. There's some players I want to get rid of. But I don't know what life looks like at the draft. Like, I'll give an example. Like, John Mechie, does he get moved at the draft to a team that needs a speedster? Maybe. Like, I can see a team saying, or like San, if Brandon Ayuk leaves, I can see San Francisco saying, hey, like, we need a speedster. What is it going to take to get Mechie off your hands? So, like, that's what I'm doing.
But if you're the Browns, what do you think they do with Jerome Ford?
I don't know. How's Nick Chubb doing? And how much do you trust?
But even if Nick Chubb, how do you...
Well, Jamie's in here. Jamie, you're a Browns fan. What are they going to do with Jerome Ford?
Like, are we sure that Nick Chubb comes back the player that he was before? And do you even want to just throw him out there when you had Jerome Ford, who put up 1,000 yards in scrimmage? Jamie said he sold Ford last year for a second rounder in multiple leagues. It ended up being 201 through 204. It's not bad. I'm thinking about trying to sell him or trade him to someone, to be honest with you.
Well, I have 3 second-round picks last year. I might think about it because I need some running backs and I need young running backs because right now my running back room is old, and I think that's why you see what you see in those rankings. Like, my running back room is a little old.
Yeah, I mean, how do you feel about Devin Singletary?
I'm not doing that until the draft.
All right. I think Jerome Ford is someone I would like to maybe move.
But I also have Zach Charbonnet. But at the same time, Kenneth Walker's still there. So he might be in the taxi.
I think I'm trying to move Jerome Ford before the draft. But we'll see. We'll see. It makes me wonder, do you keep Chase Brown?
For me, it's draft. Like, we're 2 weeks from the draft. Like, unless something just comes and blows my mind, and by that I mean, Jason, give me Justin Jefferson.
That's not happening.
Yo, he keep playing me. I've offered him the house, and he still said no.
How does one have Jared Goff and Josh Allen? They're ranked fifth. And QBs.
Well, you see what Josh Allen working with.
Kyle, can I offer you and Jerome Ford?
Kyle said, I'm interested in buying Canadians, including Chase Brown. Oh, buddy. If you were in America, that would sound extremely racist the way they be selling folks. But Kyle, you're in Canada, so it's okay.
What were your thoughts on LSU versus Iowa in the rematch of last year's national championship game?
Loved it. As much as I enjoy Andrew Reese, I enjoy Kim Mulkey losing that much more. Fire up
everyone's beef with Kim Mulkey. Why did she become this villain all of a sudden?
She's not a nice person. So did you read that Washington Post profile that they wrote about her that she'd made all that huff and puff about? If anything, it made her a sympathetic figure and how the way she is that she is. For me, it's the
What was the Washington Post accusing her of in this?
So remember a couple weeks ago, she goes to a press conference and she's like, "There's just hit piece and journalism and yada." Yeah, remember that? The piece came out, and it was just a background of her life and why she's so driven and why she holds a grudge, right? Like, that was kind of the underlying theme. Her father left her and her mother and her siblings when she was a kid to be with another woman, and she hasn't talked to him since, right? She hasn't forgiven him. Her dad is still alive. He hasn't said a word to her. Apparently, she had an argument with her sister. She does not talk to her sister anymore. Like, that's the underlying theme, is that if you cross her, she will hold a grudge forever. She does not give a rip. Like, she'll hold that. And that's pretty much it. Like, it wasn't a hit piece. It didn't accuse her of anything that we didn't know of already. When Brittany Griner was drafted, was it 2012? She kind of hinted that, like, Kim Mulkey made her hide her sexuality. And other players have said they felt like they couldn't be themselves around Kim, while others have said Kim has never made people suppress who they are. Like, it wasn't anything bad. Like,
so so it's a piece that came out that people have mixed feelings about Kim Mulkey.
Oh, if you don't like Kim Mulkey, you don't like Kim Mulkey. That piece didn't sway you one way or the other. If you didn't like her, that piece didn't, you know, add any sympathy. And if you liked her, you just understood her a little bit more. Like, that piece wasn't going to bring someone to the other side of the aisle. Like, okay. It wasn't the hit piece that she made it sound like.
Did they take accounts from people that?
Yeah, they talked to former players. They talked to former coaches. They talked to her family. Like, it was a well, like, you can tell this person took a very long time to write this piece, but it wasn't what she said it was at that press conference. And like, had she not said anything, no one would have cared.
Okay. So you were happy to see her lose because you don't think she's a good person because
of something. I am inclined to believe there's a reason former players really don't come back to talk to her. Like, once they're gone, you don't, like, you see players come back to South Carolina. Like, you see Aaliyah Boston there. You see Asia there. Like, you'll see alum. Like, there's a reason you didn't see any of Kim Mulkey's former players, Baylor or LSU, at her games. Like, there's a reason you don't see that.
And you think that's because she's not a good person?
I think she's a great coach that wins, but in regards to, like, a person, like, you can tell Dawn Staley connects to her players on a way that creates a lifelong relationship. Kim Mulkey creates a relationship, it appears, that is only good while you're there. Like, I'm interested to see how her relationship with Angel Reese evolves now that Angel's leaving.
Well, what if Kim Mulkey is really like the front of the plane and she's just all business?
Which is fine. But I think there's something deeper than that with her.
You think she's a racist?
I don't think she's a racist.
Oh, well, if she's not racist, you think she was somewhere she shouldn't have been on January 6th?
Maybe.
She looks like a Trump supporter?
I feel like if she had COVID, she would walk in a room and cough on everyone and say, "This sickness is nothing."
I don't. Okay. See, that is where I'm like, okay, are we sure about that?
And don't forget, and another thing from Kim's past, when she was at Baylor, remember when Baylor, Art Briles, NCAA, Sean Oakman, like, all those rapes and sexual assaults that got covered up? If you remember, at a women's basketball game, Kim Mulkey, during this season of turmoil at Baylor, got on the mic and said, "I don't know why people are tripping if you have a daughter that doesn't want to come to Baylor because of what's going on," and I'm paraphrasing, like, slap her in the head or something wrong with her. Like, Kim Wild.
Okay. That's an interesting choice of words.
Like, I don't think she said slap him in the head. I think she was trying to say that something is wrong with them. Like, it's being overblown. Nothing's happening here. Meanwhile, it seemed like a police report came out every other week of a Baylor player sexually assaulting someone on campus and them covering it up.
So she just talked too much. Is what it sounds like.
Yeah, she don't read the room. How about that? Let's put it like, she don't read the room.
And you think that's why people don't like her?
Yes.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. Somewhat, but. So you were happy to see her lose, even though it came at the expense of Angel Reese. What are your thoughts on Juju and USC losing versus Utah?
This is a Juju podcast. This is a Juju fan page podcast.
She nice.
She coming for Caitlin's record. Like, if Juju doesn't leave early, she's going to break Caitlin's record.
You think she would, based on the money that she's getting?
It depends. Like, I think she wants to win. The way she was crying at the end of that game against UConn, like, I feel like she wants to win the national championship. I mean, they all do, right? I don't know, man. Like, I just have a feeling if Juju stays 4 years and she's healthy, she's breaking Caitlin's record.
Women usually tend to stay most of their college careers.
I don't know. Paige blew her knee out. Like, Paige has been riddled with Paige Beckers at UConn has had injuries the past couple of years.
And she'll come back next season, she said.
Yeah, she's come back next year. Nasty. Paige at the...
Speaking of the W, what do you think about the old head haters on TV openly hating?
Can we talk about this? So Diana Taurasi hates... So you're talking about Diana Taurasi on SportsCenter. She said reality is coming for these rookies. Diana Taurasi has hated rookies her entire career. There's a clip of her in 2020 hating on the rookies coming in. Kelsey Plum has a story of, I believe, when she was a rookie and Diana Taurasi just like cold checks her, like throws her shoulder in her chest and knocks her on the ground. Like, I love it to a degree. I have mixed feelings about Diana Taurasi that we don't have to talk about tonight, but I think it's okay for the vets to look at these young people and be like, yo, what have you done? Why are you getting all this hype? I don't mind it.
You bugging. I think this shit's corny. Okay, look. Listen, you sound... Diana Taurasi sound like them old heads on the Cavs in 2002 does. To early 2003. Like, yo, dog.
What did Ricky Davis say? Ricky Davis said he can pass me the ball?
Yeah, he can pass me the ball. Let me tell you something, Diana Taurasi. If you think these young phenoms with all this TV attention aren't going to come into the league and take the league by storm, one, and two, be treated like the young superstars they are, especially with the eyes that they have generated, you're bugging. Yo, Diane, I want to let you know 18 million people watched the Women's College National Championship game. 14 million people watched the Men's Championship game. That's 4 million people. 4 million more people were in watching ESPN Women's College Basketball than Men's College Basketball. So if you don't think that ESPN, who also carries the WNBA, isn't going to try to capitalize that at the next level, you're crazy. Diana Taurasi, your time is almost up, dog. Listen.
Her time has been up for a minute. But did you see what the Mercury did? So she plays for the Mercury. The game where Diana Taurasi plays against Caitlin Clark for the first time. There's already a flyer out. I think they've changed venues. They've done something special. And the poster's like Diana Taurasi, who they call the GOAT, and like there's someone in a number 22 jersey. Like, they're making money off this, which is fine. Like, that's the point. Like, it's wrestling. That's the gimmick. Nah, I don't.
Yeah, but wrestling's wrestling though.
But it's a very wrestling feel, right? Like,
yeah, but they not the world heavyweight champion or the Intercontinental champion. They're not. Diana Taurasi hasn't been. When was the last time Diana Taurasi won a championship?
I know she lost a championship to her new teammate Kalia Copper in 2020. That's the last time they saw the mountaintop, or they even got close to the mountaintop. Was 2020. All right.
And so I think Diana Taurasi needs to take that hating and go somewhere else with it.
I love it.
The young bulls are here, and she's coming to take over.
Can we, before we move on, I will say these rookies, this is like one of the best rookie classes ever. Like, I feel like we need to make space to say that it might not go well, right? In regards, especially for Caitlin, the timeline, the draft is Monday, which is 8 days after the national championship. The WNBA season starts May 15th. There's not a lot of rest. So, like, Caitlin's great, but I feel like the transition might be a little harder than what people are making it. Like, even Steph struggled as a rookie. Like, it took Steph some time to find himself.
And what's unfair about the WNBA is that a lot of times, well, not all the time, but there's a good chance some of these players might not even make the roster and so on and so forth. So
there are only 144 slots. That's it. 12 teams, 12 roster spots. Ain't nothing but 144 spots in the W.
It's tough to make the W.
Like, rookies literally play basketball for a year. Like, the season starts in October. The W season starts in May and lasts until late summer, early fall. Like, there is no offseason. Like, anyone who's drafted from UConn, the combine is in June. Summer league is end of June. Like, they have some time to catch their breath. The women don't. You got 8 days. Caitlin got 8 days. She's going to get drafted. Then she can go straight to training camp. Preseason starts like May 3rd. Season starts May 15th. And she was third in the country in usage.
That's so unfortunate to the women, but you kind of have to understand because the WNBA can't be played at the same time as the NBA season.
Correct.
Defeats the purpose. They want viewership on both. So, yeah,
but it can be done, right? Candace Parker came in as a rookie and won a championship and won MVP. Like, it can be done. I'm not saying it's impossible.
Generational.
Yeah, she's generational. And that Caitlin could be as well.
She's just smaller.
She's smaller. She's not going to have the green light she had at Iowa. Like, and the guards in the W are bigger and faster. Raven Jackson gave us the blueprint. Like, just make sure she doesn't fade left. Force her to the right. I mean, she can make plays, but that three ball isn't as lethal when she's in coming off a pick and fading to her left.
How big of a fumble would it be if Indiana didn't take her number one overall?
Huge fumble. You got to take her. Like, her and Aaliyah Boston in the pick and roll, nightmares. Because they're both young. You don't overthink this one. You draft her and you go with it. You already got your big. You already got your wing. Go get your guard. Lexi Hall was there to help spread the floor. Like, it's there. You got it.
Kyle says that Diana Taurasi's last title was in 2014.
10 years ago. I think that was Brittany Griner's rookie year, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that's not hate.
She's never liked rookies. She's still on brand. But other vets have kind of hinted towards, like, yo, shit ain't sweet over here, which is fine. I don't mind that. It's okay. You don't have to be everyone's friend. You don't have to be.
Sorry.
I don't mind it.
Bam is now in the chat. Danny, what's up, Bam? Bam, you just missed it. We had, let me see if I still have it.
Yeah,
I
want pull you to it up first it. So Bam can see this. So Bam, while
Bam, so we had our Dynasty League. Go ahead.
You go ahead.
Bam, so we had our Dynasty League analyzed by this program online, and it evaluated all the teams, all the positions, and sorted it by ranking. So I want to make sure that you saw your team.
And we'll maximize the screen. There we go.
Right there. Full team and picks. Airing it out. Right there at number 10.
Bam, I think he's trying to say that according to this program, your team is not
good. Your team's ass.
Yeah. But it's good to see you.
Great to see you, Bam. It's so funny. Right here, you'll see where everyone's different weaknesses are. Your cousin has a weakness at QB. The other Darius has a weakness at running back. You have a weakness kind of at running back and wide receiver. I have one at wide receiver end.
I don't know why you don't want to talk to me about tight ends. You keep fading me, and I don't know why. Dalton Schultz is right there, and you keep fading me.
Who?
You.
Who?
You. Los D Mix.
I don't want Dalton Schultz.
All right.
I don't want Dalton Schultz.
I have Okonkwo. I have Dalton. I've even talked about Dallas Goedert, and everyone's like, all right, man.
Listen, with my history and eye of scouting, especially tight end talent.
Okay.
Bucks are beating the Celtics 69-47 right now. What are your thoughts on the Bucks and their struggles over the last couple weeks?
Hey, man. Doc Rivers is there, and this is hilarious. I'm sorry. It's funny. I don't care. I know the story is like, oh, what about Dame? And is this his last? I don't give a damn about none of that. This is funny.
Here's what I'm going to say. Tell me what the Bucks have gotten better at since Doc has taken over.
Nothing. Getting hurt. Did you see that tweet from the Bucks on Chris Middleton the other day? Chris Middleton out, mouth trauma. Excuse me? Poor K?
Yo, you know how many people quoted that and just in capital letters said, what?
Me, I am them.
I am
excuse
also
excuse me?
I said he hurt his what?
Mouth trauma? Thanasis, explain yourself.
What do you mean by that?
I'm saying Thanasis got a little too hype in the huddle and might have elbowed him in the mouth. Because that sounds like something Thanasis would do.
Oh.
Am I lying? Does Thanasis not look like the guy who would injure his own teammate?
I think you're a freak ass boy.
Chill out.
I think you're. We got him. We got him. We got him. Speaking of which, how do you think the standings are going to play out in the NBA? The Lakers have been playing some good basketball over the last month or so. It hasn't resulted in them moving up or down the standings.
It's amazing how competitive the West is. Right?
I like the way Dallas looks.
Dallas is up 14 right now on. They're slowly choking the lead to the Hornets. Oh, no. Okay. It's 104-91 with 8 left. Dog, that game Saturday against Houston, sign me up. I'm in.
That was a good game.
Like, if they can grab the 4 seed, Luka's MVP, and they get the Clippers, sign me up, dog.
Luka's MVP.
Oh, yeah. The Mavericks have, like, behind Denver, I think the Mavericks have the best record in the league. Luka is leading the league in points. Luka is leading the team in points, assists, and rebounds. Like, Luka is – every time we've talked about Luka's MVP, he kind of fades at the end of the year. He's getting better. Kyrie dropped 25 points in the fourth and overtime on Sunday against the Rockets. I was skeptical about this trade, but we have seen them together for an extended period of time. The Mavericks are playing defense. PJ Washington, Derek Lively, when he comes back, dog. I'm not saying they're going to win a championship, but I do think they can make it to the Western Conference Finals. Like, I think they could see Denver in the Western Conference Finals.
I think I like where your head's going. I think they could see the Lakers as well in the Western Conference Finals.
Who, the Mavericks? Like the Mavericks Lakers in the Western Conference Finals? Sign me up for that.
Yeah.
But who's beating Denver though, right? Like, it feels like Denver has an extra gear that they haven't even touched yet.
I think it could potentially be the Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay, we're coming back to this because last year, that was not to say that it can't happen. I just know last year we were on this train.
Lakers in six.
Lakers in six, that's a 4.
Lakers in six.
Okay.
Lakers.
But I feel like, but I don't know about you, but it feels like the Nuggets have a gear that they haven't touched yet. Like they're like, okay, let's get our act together. And then
they're playing with their food right now.
Correct. Does anyone believe in Minnesota or OKC?
No.
No. Okay. I'm glad we're on the same page. I don't believe in them either. I don't believe they haven't gone through anything. You and I have said on this podcast many times that young teams have to go through something. You got to get your heart.
They got to go through something to really get that tough experience. You got to get them hard losses that scar tissue and war. Yep.
You got to blow that 3-1 lead. Somebody got to get hurt, like the Nuggets.
You got to do what to that lead?
You got to blow a 3-1 lead.
All righty, go ahead. You said what about the Nuggets? We got them.
Well, no, remember Jamal Murray got hurt. They went through that whole thing. Jamal Murray, you have to go through something.
I don't know if you've been noticing.
He's what?
Jamal Murray hasn't been playing a lot as of late. He's been in and out of the lineup.
Really? Like, I'm saying, like, they're still fighting for the one seed. Like, Denver is so scary.
Do you think teams are avoiding Denver or trying to avoid Minnesota or OKC?
Oh, you try to avoid Denver at all costs. I'll take my chances against two teams that have not been to the playoffs. Shea's been to the playoffs, but he didn't play any significant role.
You know, it's funny. I think the Lakers are going to make the play-in game and play really well and then have to face Denver in that first round.
God bless you. I'm just hoping the Mavericks hold off that, like, they're the 5 right now. I hope they can jump to 4 and then we can really be talking about something.
I think y'all will. What are your thoughts on Rashee Rice's crashed car down in the Dallas area?
In the era of cell phones, you thought you were just going to crash a Lamborghini and walk away?
He ran away.
I mean, we have phones. We see you, dog. He ran down a freeway and then up an exit ramp. Dog, we see you.
Yeah, but he had the stuff on him, so he had to make sure he flushed that away. And he had the blicky on him, too, probably.
Dog, we see you.
Hey. He said he had the blicky on him too.
Well, then don't ride around racing with the blicky. At what time, what point we have to say, hey, man, don't be stupid.
Exactly. What do you think the Chiefs do with him? They seem to have a knack for finding trouble telling you. Yeah, he didn't hurt nobody.
They don't care. Yeah, everyone walked away, literally.
I guess that's the most important thing, right?
If you want to look at it that way, they're going to make that man run.
What are your thoughts on Calipari dipping out on Kentucky to coach at Arkansas?
I'm going to leave you before you leave me. I'm sick of y'all shit. That's it. That's it. That's all that was. You know what? Y'all talking to me a little bit too crazy. And
like, I ain't brought y'all a national championship and mad money because of the first round picks I've brought to the school.
Exactly. I've created damn near three starting lineups of NBA players, and you talking to me just a little bit too crazy right now. And she on the other end, she not a 10, but she 8.5, and she got more money. I'm going to talk to her.
You said you were going to talk to him?
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're Calipari, it's like, yeah, Kentucky's the dream job, 10 out of 10. Or Arkansas, SEC, you're going to get more money. Like, you can, like, it's easier to recruit now that you have the transfer portal. Like, he can tell, hey, guys, I'm going to Arkansas. Come with me.
I think in the essence of football, it definitely makes – I mean, I'm not football. Yes. In football, it does make sense to go from Kansas to an Arkansas. This is why it somewhat makes sense in the terms of basketball, because Arkansas has a very generous donating base, including a pretty well-known billionaire who attended their school previously. So –
who I may think, or may not have attended civil rights protests on the wrong side.
He had enough to make sure that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Take the good with the bad, my boy. Listen, Calipari, if you're going to bring NBA recruits, bring them to Fayetteville, Arkansas. Watch how that city's about to boom.
That's gonna be a hard sell. Him and Bobby Petrino are gonna be in neck braces together before you know.
Oh, they're gonna be hanging out for sure. You know they're gonna their house gonna be the spot for them things.
You thought Rick Pitino was wilder than Louisville. Wait till these boys link up.
Speaking of the Ville, we got rappers from the Ville apologizing now.
Yeah, let's wrap up on this. This is you wanna go? Cause I have what happened first before we start talking?
Well, I'll tell you what. Anthony Davis, headache and nausea, is not playing tonight versus the Warriors.
He pregnant?
Huh?
He pregnant?
That's my starting center.
That's a step down.
That's my starting center you're talking about like this.
That's a step down from mouth trauma.
Okay. 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 Whoa. You talking crazy on here?
Is this the funk? I thought he was taking it down. He said they were going to take it off Spotify and streaming services. I'm surprised.
He can take it down all he wants. I got it in my phone and in my Serato.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he should have taken it down.
So ladies and gentlemen, J. Cole put that out over the weekend. That, and I would also say if you listen to Pie with him, Absol, and Daylight, he was getting some bars off to Kendrick there. So he put that out over the weekend. As y'all can see what type of time he was on a few of the records, responding to Kendrick in that Like That record, that it just goes crazy. It just goes crazy. And then over the weekend at Dreamville Festival, footage popped up of J. Cole apologizing to Kendrick and basically saying, yo, I didn't mean to send that energy your way. And you feel like if you feel a way, take your best shot. And I, you know what I mean? Like, I respect it. Danny, is this a big deal or no deal for real hip hop?
What happened to the game I love?
Let's talk about it.
What happened to rappers just saying, hey, I'm better than you, I'm going to put it on wax? What is this apology stuff? He's apologizing for defending himself because Kendrick sent the shot first and he responded.
No, technically Drake and J. Cole sent it with first person shooter.
Okay. My bad. But why are you apologizing? Like, if there's ever a day where rappers don't fight for the title of the best, then I don't want any parts of it. Right. That has the N word prominently, dog.
Sorry, just had to get that real energy back in here real quick.
What happened to the game I love?
Nobody want to rap no more. They all want to be friends and make money.
No. It doesn't work like that. Someone has to be the best. Wayne came out and said, I'm the best rapper alive, and improved it for 6 years.
Yeah, but Jay-Z had something to say about some of that.
Which is fine, and they still friends. Like, you can have healthy competition.
And they got some bars off back and forth, though.
And they got bars, and then you know what? And then they did a song together.
Remember that back and forth? I'm like, yes. Really? You got plenty in here? Really? You got baby money? Keep it real with. They ain't got my lady money. Wayne came back and said, talking about baby money. I got your baby money. Kidnap your, make you give that how much you love your lady money. What's up?
Come on, man. You know,
they don't do it like Kissing Beans did it back in the day.
I never thought I'd say this. Where's the game? The game would never allow this to stand if he was in charge.
Do you remember when Jadakiss went at it with 50?
Yes. Bars. Well, Jamie, you got to leave. Eminem is not the best at anything. You can take all his shit and throw it in a river and no one would miss it.
You think so?
No. What Gucci say to Head Crack? You run around bumping a new Eminem? You remember that interview?
Sometimes you
kill your mama. Is that what you're about to say?
Listen, I'm gonna be honest with you. Eminem gets no play in my Serato at all. Kyle said he actually thinks Kendrick Lamar is the best. Kyle said he actually thinks Kendrick Lamar is the best.
Well, Kendrick is the best because that man apologized to him before he could get another shot off. But how you shooting and apologize for pulling the trigger? Come on, man.
Because it probably won't. Here's what I got from that. It sounds to me like it really won't. Like, J. Cole probably really wasn't trying to shoot at Kendrick initially on first person shooter, but Drake was probably in his petty bag. And then
J. Cole kind of was like, oh, yeah, it was kind of like peer pressure. Dog, you almost 40.
Hey, maybe what if J. Cole really just like rapping, but he don't want the beat? It's rap.
That's part of rap. That's why you become a rapper. That's part of the business. We both know y'all not going to shoot nobody. This is not a violent beef.
You know what I think we might get again? Maybe.
What?
Let me see if you remember this.
Like, I hope Kendrick comes and slaughters him. He deserves it.
You remember this?
What's this? I can't hear anything.
You remember this? Let him talk for a little bit. You might remember who he's talking about.
I don't hear anything.
This is the shot that really set it off.
I don't hear anything, though.
You can't hear it?
No, I can't hear it.
You can't hear that? Hold on. No. I'll play it from my phone. I can't believe you couldn't hear that. My bad. I got it.
While you find that, like, where's Pusha T?
Hold on. That's why I imagine you didn't hear what I was saying here. This is what I was playing.
Yes.
You think we getting one of them? Think we getting one of these again?
From who? From Drake?
You know, this is the shot that set it off, really.
Drake
is the shot that heard around the world that really got some stuff started.
Drake not getting it.
the nigga that's making your beats. I've done things for him I thought that he never would need. Father had to stretch his hands out and get it from me. I pop style for 30 hours and let him repeat. Now you popping up with the jokes, I'm dead, I'm asleep. I just left from over by y'all putting pen to the sheets. Tired of sitting quiet and helping my enemies eat. Keep getting temperature checks, they know that my head overheats. Don't know why the fuck you niggas listening, dead, I'm asleep. Must have had your infrared wrong, now your head in a beam. Y'all let a spitting image of whatever jealousy breeds.
See? Listen, he came with that energy, and then you remember what got sent back his way after that, though? Because he was, listen, the thing is, Drake was cooking on that, and then he got to the, I'm going to put a ring on it, like Virginia Williams bar, and Push heard that and was like, oh, this is what we doing? I bet.
Drake will never enter another rap beef again. Like, you are hiding a son, your best friend is dying, your wife was a porn star, yeah, your mama baby is a loser. Your dad dressed like a monkey, like dog.
Then Drake went on the shop and was basically crying about how, you know, he did an interview with Elliot Wilson. Was basically like, you can't say stuff that like that about people's friends, man. And I was like, oh yeah, you lost.
But that's beef. Like that is the essence. Like J. Cole had so much room to call that man short. I'd have let them short jokes ring. What did he say on Everybody Dies? You get exposed standing next to 6'4 rappers. It was right there, dog. You could have called him mini me, pocket size, make sure he got a telephone book in the booth so he can reach the mic. It was all there. You could have roasted that man for five minutes.
What if Kendrick is, y'all keep talking about Kendrick short. What if Kendrick got a little Napoleon syndrome? Like,
what? That's the thing. That's what I'm saying. That's what you intend.
On timing.
You got all that rage because your body ain't big enough to like cycle your emotions. Like, it's all there, D. You trying to conquer the world, but you can't get on a roller coaster. Dog, I would have roast that man to high heaven.
Where your bars at?
I'm not a rapper. I don't
want that. If I gave you an instrumental, could you give me like a 4?
No, I could not.
Come on. All right.
I'm not a rapper. I'm just saying, I would have given that man so many short jokes, he would have grew an inch. He wouldn't have had a choice. He'd be, you know how they be getting them illegal BBLs? He'd be getting them illegal knee surgeries that give you a couple inches.
Listen. All right, we're at the point of the show where we're talking about BBLs. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to play an instrumental. Watch how I'm about to get some shit off. All right, bet. Y'all talking out here. First off, imagine you hear like that, like you Drake or J. Cole, and you hear what Kendrick come on like that saying. You hear that beat. Mm-hmm. You hear him talking all that. Now you got to get in the studio. This is what I'm coming back saying. All right, bet. I'm about to be like, all right, y'all here talking that shit? All right, bet. I got something for y'all. Like, watch this. Kendrick, you want something? I got something for you.
You wouldn't call him by name, though. That's not a good rap beef. You wouldn't call him by name. You would say something like Midget Man or All Right, Little Guy.
All right.
Are the children talking? I can't hear you.
I got you. So you got to come on. You be like, you got to laugh first. You know how they laugh.
Yeah, you got to laugh.
I can't believe you would do something like this.
Yeah,
you didn't really make me have to get into my bag like this. I heard you from a mad city. Watch. I got something for you. Good there kid. You just a good kid. I heard you talking all that good shit. You just a.
Mm-hmm. Keep going. Keep going.
How you think you got at it? You a good kid, Mad City. I'ma put you on the boy, get off the titty. You wanna 5-4. Can't even touch the side though. Something. Yo, that brings me back. You remember when I used to get my rapping shit off?
I was about to say you used to give us a freestyle at the end of every show and then you stop.
I started DJing instead. I had to transfer my rapping powers into... Yo, some days I listen back to some of the music I made back in the day, and I really get to laughing. Speaking of which, ladies and gentlemen, if you are doing any errands, like if you're running any errands, or if you're doing any gym work, ladies and gentlemen, if you go to my SoundCloud, that is at Los Demix, that's LOSDEEMIX, a new mix has been dropped. It is called... It is my new series of mixes for any type of errand runs. It was going to be short, 30, 40 minutes. Good kid, bad bars. Those demons go back to making beats. Thank you, Bam. Yo, Bam, I used to get busy though. I'll make you. All right, I got something for him. Right, Danny, I got something for him.
He was saying.
But yes, if you go to my SoundCloud at Los Demix, that's LOSDEEMIX. There is a new mix, about 30-40 minutes. So if you're, you know, getting ready in the morning or something like that, I got a little something for you. Little mix, oldies, newbies, R&B, hip hop, little reggae. I was in my bag a little bit, and of course,
I'm off tomorrow, so I'm gonna listen to it.
Listen, of course I had to play that Future. When's the last time you heard Ain't I?
By Shorty Low?
Nah, Ain't I. Yeah, Ain't I smoking strong? Ain't I smoking strong? Ain't I rocking Jay? Ain't my money long?
Oh yeah, I know that. I was in my prime when that came out.
Go ahead, but hey, brother, go ahead, put that on. You'll bump. You'll like it.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna put, like I said, I gotta run some errands tomorrow anyway. I'm off, so yeah, I gotta do some stuff.
While I'm at it, I'm gonna plug the rest of my socials. Make sure you guys follow me on Instagram, on X, on YouTube, on Twitch. If you're looking for more gaming football stuff, apparently in my franchise online Madden League, I am quote unquote cheating. So now I'm gonna be streaming all of my franchise games. And I guess I'll be playing them all the way through. So this is another lesson to anyone. Do not sit idle while playing online Madden modes. They will kick you off the servers. And then you'll look like you're... Never mind. Anyway. Yo, I've actually been pretty busy DJing. I've had like a gig or two like every week.
I follow you on Instagram. I see you out here.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
Jamie
said, "I got the who got horrible rap taste."
I think he's still harping on that. I said Eminem is ass, and if you threw all his music in a river, no one would care.
Jamie, let me ask you something. No, let me tell you something. I ain't never got one person that came up to me and said, "Yo, can you play that Eminem?"
Jamie, the hoes pulling up to Eminem. You pulling up on the hoes listening to Eminem? You pulling up on the hose, listening to a man talk about throwing his mama in the river in the trunk.
Cause so that do with the rap, throw with the bib, the dab, the boob, the bap, the gab, the feminine.
Hoes ain't listening to that.
Yeah. Tell me who that is.
We not listening. We not like what Gucci tell Headcrack. You running around bumping a new Eminem? That tells you all you need to know, man. That's the funniest thing Gucci ever said.
Yo, nah, OG, listen, I got a bunch. You ain't, I was just getting ready to say, old OG Gucci on Twitter used to be hilarious. You remember that Nicki Minaj tweet?
I'm going to jail for Gucci was the best thing that could have happened to him. He found Jesus.
One more thing weight. I got to say. Meek Mill, please
get off Twitter.
Get bro. Off of social media, dog. Did you see his tweet at Wale? I was like, yo.
Wale took a picture with somebody? Dog, what are we, seven? Meek Mill, another one. Jose, you could throw all Meek Mill. Oh, I take that back. Dream Chasers, the Meek. Oh, my bad. Whew. Almost got reckless. Dream Chasers, too, was like that.
You crazy. You got a bunch. Jamie said Weak Mill. All right, Jamie. All right, Jamie. Your library filled of Logic, Eminem, Hobson, Tech N9ne.
Oh, not Tech N9ne. I can't breathe. Not Tech N9ne.
Come on. Lupe Fiasco, Conway the Machine.
No. Lupe Fiasco after the cool.
Yeah. Lupe Fiasco, Black Thought, The Roots. I know. Yeah. I bet you.
Well, hold on. We're not going. Black Thought and the Roots will always burn.
I'm not slandering. I'm just saying I'm picking out artists that I'm pretty sure I can tell right now.
But yeah. I know Jamie is not happy with the J. Cole beef as well if that's in his library.
Jamie.
Beef Jamie is.
Who?
Who?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Y'all have a good night, man. Speak on _pod, all socials, follow us.
I know like one name you mentioned, but Weak Mill and Eminem is good at music is where you're all right. No y'all black be, thought.
Y'all be blessed, man. I'm going to
Bam. Listen, I want you to know, Bam, your team was really ranked bottom of the standings in terms of dynasty rankings. It's at this point, it's not even me who knows it. It's like the computers and they numbers know.
Why, your team is some ass. Yo, why are you taunting this man?
Your team is some ass.
Why are you taunting this man? He out here, man, saving lives and you taunting him.
Make sure you also follow the pod at speakon_pod as well. Bam, I just let you know, it confirmed it. Your team is ass. And I'm not even trying. Now I can say it confidently and no, I'm not really lying. That boy team's ass. That boy team's ass. So Kyle, you know the roots, but Jamie don't. And Jamie told me that Eminem made good music and Weak Mill.
Kyle, I feel like a weekend with Kyle would be an otherworldly experience.
Yeah. Kyle gonna have you on that Hennessy and Douce. He gonna have you off that Hennessy and Douce, and you gonna pop up at a bar with a DJ with a green, white, and red shirt on, talking about some Rastaman.
You gonna see the thickest women on the planet. Mm-hmm. Foundations. Y'all have a blessed night, man. I ain't got nothing else.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me play us a song to get up out of here. Matter of fact, I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna play a little bit of this mix that I made, Danny. Danny, while I'm doing that, why don't you tell the people where to find you before we get up out of here?
You can find me on X at DannyOcean41. The Mavericks won. Hey, keep it coming. Mavs on the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a freaky ass boy, I'll tell you.
All right. Good night, y'all. Be blessed. Put on the mix, man, so I can go.
Freaky ass boy, hold on. This is for my Future fans out here. Jamie, if you don't know who Future is, I don't know. I don't know.
You, Jamie.
Hold on. Let me do this. Hold on, I got it. Listen to this. Ladies and gentlemen, this is from my new mix. We out here.